Hacksaw Ridge might have won big this year at Australia's Industry Awards, The Actors, but I think this next filmmaker should have got a look in too. He's Michael Rowe, a man who's been making films in Mexico for the past few years. His first film, Leap Year, won the Best First Feature Prize at Cannes in 2010, a year after Warwick Thornton won the same prize for Samson and Delilah. Michael Rowe's most recent film, Early Winter, is shot in Canada. It's the story of an Anglophone couple living in Quebec. He's Canadian and works night shifts in a nursing home. She's originally from Eastern Europe. And they're both navigating the banality and chaos of family life with two small sons. In Australia, we don't tend to produce directors interested in making bold statements formally, but this is quite an exception. Visually, Early Winter is striking for its use of long shots that don't have camera movement and avoid close-ups, resulting in a film that makes you feel a little bit like a voyeur looking into a cage. The movement, the tension, happens within the frame. And mostly, that's enough. Xavier Dolan, regular Suzanne Clement, and Paul Doucet are excellent in the lead roles. And if it all sounds a little bit bleak for something you'd want to watch over the holiday season, I think the film's strength is that it navigates a middle path between despair and a trite happy ending. Here's Michael Rowe talking on Skype.
This is a film that deals with solitude and human isolation. And I try and reflect through the camera this theme. And I feel like having a fairly open shot, a still camera, isolates the character and limits as an audience, our ability to empathize with him. At the same time, it gives us a certain voyeuristic fly-on-the-wall interest in what's going on. And yeah, there's also, I have personal reasons for doing it. Aesthetic reasons and artistic reasons. I don't believe in manipulating the response of an audience. I think that if the script is strong enough and if the acting's good enough, the audience should feel the emotions without me needing to manipulate their response through a close-up or a dolly in or a dolly out or whatever. I also feel like it's a question of respect for the actors, because in Hollywood and indeed in all conventional films, there is so much of the performance that's constructed later in the editing room, and you can completely change the semantics and the work of the actor in the edit. And I don't believe in that. I work very closely with actors, and I see them as my co-creators. I have an enormous respect for their work, and for them, I think it's an unusual opportunity that they really enjoy to actually act and be able to take an emotional curve from beginning to end during a single scene.
Tell me about the intruders into frame that you've carefully choreographed from time to time that aren't human. We have these elements of wildlife, I suppose you could call them, that unexpectedly enter into our line of sight in this film. What was that about?
Once again, this is a film about isolation, and one of the major reasons that we humans feel isolated is because we close our eyes and our emotions to the world around us. And on a larger scale, that includes the lives that are present all the time and every moment around us and that we don't see, which are the non-human lives. The average person will see in one day their dog or the neighbor's dog or a cat, and that's about it. But there are hundreds of other lives that live in the same building as us that we don't see. We choose not to see. Spiders, mice, possums. And I think that it's very difficult to feel isolated or depressed when you deeply understand that we are just part of an enormous number of billions of individual life forms on our city block. And to realize that you're not alone in the world, it's as easy as looking at the spider and the fly on the wall.
Well, it's also true, I think, that there's been research done on the effects that the pets have in the lives of people suffering depression, and that research seems to suggest that the companionship of animals is something beneficial. But, of course, I don't want to suggest to the listener that your film has any kind of Lassie vibe in it. It's not about pets. There is something much more cosmic and slightly deliciously random about your inclusion of animals in the film, and I'll leave that for people to discover when they go and see it. But I'd like to turn this discussion now to your career so far and the fact that in your early 20s, after studying literature at La Trobe, you went off to Mexico. And so I'd like to understand what you think the difference between Mexico and Australia is that meant that you had a film career there and are having a film career there. This film, of course, is shot in Montreal, but, you know, essentially Mexico is the country that launched you and not Australia.
I think that chaos is kind of the key a little bit. And the thing with Mexico is that things are a little bit chaotic, but within that chaos, there are opportunities if you know how to take advantage of them. So I studied screenwriting. First I learned Spanish, then studied screenwriting, and walked around with a fairly dog-eared or an increasingly dog-eared copy of my script under my arm for about 8 years, knocking on doors. And when I finally realized that nobody was going to make my film if I didn't direct it myself, I wrote a script for two people in a room and was able to get privately funded money together to do the film, which became Leap Year. I think there's a great reliance in Australia on government funding. And structurally, the industry is very much dominated by funding agencies and by the fear of directors of those funding agencies. And what I've found here is that there is an enormous will to please on the part of aspiring directors, and that they, instead of starting out with a story that's important to them, they start out trying to second guess what some development funding person is going to think is a good idea this week. And to be honest, the only people who know, or not the only people, but really the most of the people who know how to make films are making films. There are a few critics out there who also know, but a lot of the people in government agencies are bureaucrats, and they're very good bureaucrats, but that doesn't necessarily make them filmmakers, and they don't understand, you know. So they're trying to get the copy of the copy of something that was successful in the United States 15 years ago, and that's just a recipe for mediocrity.
Director Michael Rowe talking about his film Early Winter, a highlight of the past year. You've been listening to an RN summer edition of the show. I'm Jason DeRosso. If you're interested in hearing about the films releasing over this holiday season, do check out the Final Cut's Summer Movies panel online for reviews of the biggest and the best. See you next week for more filmmaker interview highlights from the last 12 months. You'll hear from the British veteran director, Terence Davies, who gets pretty deep reflecting on mortality and the meaning of life.
I do see that the glass is half empty and not half full. My view of the human condition is essentially tragic. I think we endure and have to endure in the face of death without becoming bitter, you know, or corroded. But that's not a comfort, you know, and a lot of people don't like it, and quite right too. If they don't like it, they don't like my work. I'm definitely an acquired taste, you know. I am not by any means popular. But I don't believe in false hope. I think that's a complete betrayal.
You'll also hear from the Colombian director Ciro Guerra, whose first film, Embrace of the Serpent, was one of my highlights from the year. Look forward to your company then.